Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the planet Earth. This is the Mike and Abe Show, and we have Mike, JFK Mike. Okay, we won't hide him. We will not hide the identity. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. My alias now, I have another alias, a JFK Mike I've been using on the world-famous Taxi Dave Show. And, you know, he's Taxi Dave, I'm JFK Mike. For whatever reason, that's the way it worked out. And the JFK Mike and me wrote just from organic writing at midnight. I was going to bed. I was so upset about this wheelchair accessible vehicle program coming in from the Taxi Commission and what they can do with it versus what they are doing with it. They made this whole big rigmarole about wheelchair accessible vehicles. And I remember when these people in wheelchairs just come in and say, "Taxis for all, taxis for all," with signs and the press there, like a sneak attack. And apparently somebody had a financial incentive to get wheelchairs for all. And now that the cab industry has complied with a lot of this mumbo jumbo and is getting wheelchair vehicle cabs and getting wheelchair vehicle classes for drivers and blah, 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 where are the customers? We have the fleet taxi garages. They're telling us that maybe, this is fleet garages, mind you. I had a couple of guys say they're getting maybe one or two calls per week for a wheelchair accessible vehicle. So basically, we're getting one or two calls per week for the 3,000 or 4,000, no, not even, let's say for the 3,000 wheelchair accessible vehicles that are on the road so far. And TLC apparently still has collected about $150 million that they haven't spent. Where is that money? And the other thing, Abe, I got to ask you, we do radio, we do media. Where are the ads to tell people there is wheelchair accessible vehicle stuff going on now? I mean, it's a very weird dynamic, and I'm just wondering what you have to think about all this.
Well, I'll tell you where the ads are. They're in your mind.
That's okay. A song. We should write that up. The ads are in my mind.
Right. Right. They're not anywhere visible to the general public. Okay.
Right.
You know, except for, I believe, the vehicles that do wheelchair accessible calls have a little insignia on the, you know, of a wheelchair on the side of the car. Rather
yeah,
than
big
the
deal.
You know, we're maybe they should have the rates for the wheelchair cars, you know. All right. You know, I read your editorial, Mike, and, it really belongs in the New York Times, okay?
It belongs on a billboard in Times Square because
basically
what I just said is the sky is blue, the Pope is Catholic, you know, fish swim, birds fly. And with this big election year, this is one of the major flops that people should be keying on who theoretically are looking for campaign issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to figure out at what point somebody does something. Because somebody's sitting on a lot of money, and they force the taxi industry, basically with a gun to our head, to do stuff to get wheelchair-accessible vehicles on the street. It has affected customer service, because some of these wheelchair vehicles ride like a skateboard. They're very rough ride, because they've overcompensated on the shock and suspension for the extra weight of wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And if you get one wheelchair or two wheelchair ride per week, you're probably creating handicap by the rough ride given to the cab driver and non-wheelchair passengers, in my opinion. We have one vehicle out there which runs very nicely as far as this is concerned. That's the Nissan Bloomberg Van of the Future, whatever. That apparently has a very good suspension for a wheelchair accessible vehicle. I don't want to get into detail about some of the other stuff, but there's one van in particular that I put in the editorial, which I've ridden in myself, rides like a skateboard, the suspension is too tight, and it's a horrible ride. And you wonder how much of this was being championed by our friends at, I'll call them Suber, okay, to force us into something which is financially cost prohibitive for the industry to do, because we're not getting the money we deserve for this. And I'm just wondering if this was yet another dagger in the back of the industry from people who apparently now have no responsibility to pick up handicapped passengers at all. I mean, I don't think there are any Uber vehicles that are complying with any sort of wheelchair accessible vehicle law. And I'm just wondering, am I missing something here?
Well, yeah, you know, the Uber cars are using the green cabs for wheelchair demand calls, okay?
Now, what are they doing?
That's what I've been reading. Yeah, right. They're forwarding the call to some yellows, I think, also, okay? Now, you know, you're wondering, like, where did this come from, you know? You know, look, you know, and was this, you know, my view is this whole game was pre-planned by the former administration.
Bloomberg, okay? Et al.
Yeah, right. Bloomberg and his friend, Mr. Askey. Okay.
Right.
Did I leave a letter off there? Okay.
I like the pronunciation.
Yeah, right. Yaski. Okay.
Right.
Listen, they had it in for us. Why? Right. Because they lost a couple of court cases. You know, first they lost the court case about the hybrid cars, which they shouldn't have been so mad about, because most of us who weren't part of that case wound up getting hybrid cars anyway.
Right.
Okay? You know, if they would have just, you know, been cool about it, the market, as they say, let the market decide. Well, the market did decide, and, you know, a good portion of the taxis, you know, I don't know the exact number, but, you know, I'm guessing anywhere from a third to a half of the taxis, if not more, did become hybrid. Okay.
Right.
So that's one lawsuit that peed them off. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other lawsuit was with the taxi of tomorrow, which is really the taxi of aged times. Right.
The taxi of Tammany Hall.
Okay.
That's what I was, the taxi of Tammany Hall.
Right. 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 You know, they lost that suit also. Yeah. And what happened? Ultimately, the courts, you know, overturned it and on appeal. And now everybody has to buy this taxi of last century.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the local courts, the golf game judges, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michael Bloomberg, you know, made it very clear that you know one day in Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
I'm going to destroy your effing industry, he said.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the
said that in front of, yeah, we said that to Gene Friedman, who's now in jail, by the way.
He's in jail.
Okay, I don't know. He's in jail. He's been arrested for not paying $5 million worth of MTA tax.
Well, if you're gonna split hairs about every little thing, I mean, he's in jail for not paying.
He'll probably, you know, they'll probably come to some settlement there. But as far as I know, the news is reporting that he's in jail. He's
well,
been arrested.
I heard on the news he was in jail,
yeah.
And he wanted to get $500,000. They had to get $500,000 in bail. So if anybody out there wants to help,
I don't think he has anybody in the industry that wants to help him. Okay?
Well, you never know.
But he might have the money socked away himself, whatever he needs to bail himself out. I don't think it's $5 million. I think it's $250,000 or something.
Well,
okay?
You know, I'll tell you, like, just maybe we could start like a, we could write a song and like put it on YouTube and let the donations come in. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, Bloomberg made it very clear that he was out to stab us in the back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And part of that was burdening us with this wheelchair thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were winning in the courts. Okay? And then they decided all of a sudden, we're going to settle.
Right.
We're going to settle. They told the judge, all right, we'll make half of them wheelchair accessible by 2020,
mm-hmm.
he said.
Right.
You know, they said, whoever, the lawyers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know, they settled without our permission. We didn't give them permission to do that.
Well, back
you know,
up.
Did you give them permission, Mike?
What was it
Mike,
again?
Did you give them permission?
Well, you said we settled without – back up. What did we settle? I don't even know what we settled. You're saying we settled. What is this
settled? They settled. The courts – were I don't, look, I'm not a lawyer. I wasn't there. All I remember is what I read, okay?
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, we're going back now to when they were still in office, and shortly before they got out of office, they settled a lawsuit with the people with disabilities.
Right.
You know, they stopped fighting the requirement that the taxi should be accessible and said, okay, we'll make half of them accessible. Okay, that's the short of the story.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sure there are people out there that can explain it a lot better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but that's the short of the story. They said, okay, you'll get your 50% wheelchair accessible, and then after they won the appeal for the taxi tomorrow. Okay. One of the last things that Yasky did before he left office was pass a rule, which was later overturned by the current administration, that all of the partitions in any taxi have to be crash tested.
Crash tested.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And knowing that the only cars that would be would have that partition that was crash tested was the taxi of last century.
Right. So this is, in my opinion, again, yeah. I'm not a lawyer. We are not lawyers. But what's
right.
happening here is we get sandbagged in the local court. These guys, a lot of these guys have been listening to these court cases. We're going to court. We're going to sue. Like, listen, you're suing in New York. You're suing in New York State. You have to be prepared to drag this thing away from New York City and away from New York State. Because this is like the Democratic machine, and judges have been appointed for years and decades who are friendly with members of the current administration in New York City and Albany. So unless you're prepared to drive this thing to the Supreme Court of the United States, where you might have a shred of hope. I mean, this is the problem with the country all over the place, because now everything is going to the Supreme Court. It's like all these little local fiefdoms being created with judges for life. You run the risk of just wasting time and money with something that is. I've had lawyers in the cab. I asked them about this. There's one thing about cab driving. You talk to everybody, and they said there are times when you go into court as a lawyer, and they'll tell me they just look at the judge and say, "Oh, we're dead. We're not going to win this." Just looking at the judge, and I think a couple of cases with these taxi lawsuits. I'm not going to say it happens. I'm not going to say on the record that that's legally what the problem is. But you get some lawyers that can just look at the judge and say, "Well, we're screwed. We're just wasting our time." But they'll follow through anyway because they're getting paid to do it. So it's a mess. And I think a lot of this stuff that's been ruled by the courts is just a bunch of BS. And the bottom line is, we could help the handicapped community substantially a lot more than we're doing now. We weren't hamstrung and being forced to do it with crazy laws. And I'll tell you something else. My last thing on this is that I forgot. I'll think of it later.
Well, let me say this. I used to go to traffic court with Alan Decker, the late great Alan Decker.
Yeah.
And he would. And he would look at the judge and say, "I'm adjourning the case. I'm gonna move
just like
it
that.
Up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I'd say why. He'd say, "I'll never win with this judge."
Perfect. That's what I'm saying. The late great Alan Decker
okay.
at least knew.
Yeah.
And I've had people even in traffic court. I'll go in the traffic court. And say, "We got a small sponsor. What do you mean? This is like the hanging judge." So I said, "Okay." And sadly, the lawyers can't say anything publicly because they have to do business with this judge every day. So we have a big problem with the legal community because there's a death grip where these judges are not going away. I mean, they used to, let's say 50, 60 years ago, just die of natural causes after being on the bench after a legal career. Let's say they've had a legal career, they're 45, then they're 65, then they retire, they don't want to do it anymore. Now, you got people living to be 80 and 90 years old. They've been on the bench for 40 years, for 50 years. Get off the stage. Give somebody else a chance. Jesus. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the question we were trying to answer? I forgot.
We were talking about the whole wheelchair thing. And the other thing with the wheelchair is, the accessoride, the expenses the budget for accessoride vehicles, which are not yellow cabs and not green cars, divided by the rides, it comes out to $60 per person per ride that the city and state are paying for accessoride vehicles. Now, you talk about all this forcing cab drivers to do stuff. Hey, if you paid me $60 per person per ride to transport handicapped people, trust me, they'll never have a problem getting a cab. I mean, you got to be kidding me. $60 per person. And if you have a van full of people going somewhere in the same location, they're getting $60 per head. So if you get like six or seven people in a van, invariably, the guy driving a van, not even a cab, guy driving operating that van is grossing $400 or $500 transporting that trip of people. So if you gave me four handicapped people, let's say two to fit in the cab, you gave me two handicapped people, $60 a piece, take an hour and a half, trust me, you wouldn't have any problem at all ever again transporting the handicapped in New York City. But this is what we're saying. Right now we're forced to buy these cars, which may or may not be great. And what about, let's say, you and me? You can still legally drive a cab. Abe Middleman, Michael Higgins. What about our physical ability to help these people? I mean, we're spry. I mean, you run around where you are, I run around where I am. What about a cab driver who's not in great shape? You have cab drivers who have had heart attacks, they have diabetes, they have a bad knee. What happens if something happens to this person in the wheelchair? These cab drivers, they're physically able to drive a cab. They're not physically able to lift a 300-pound wheelchair person off the ground if something happens. What about that? I mean, there's a lot of variables here. Oh, see, now you got me started. I'm going to one more thing. Where are these specific pickup and drop zones for wheelchair-accessible vehicles? I mean, they have this squiggly little logo on the front of wheelchair-accessible vehicle cabs. Why can't they take that same logo, spray paint it on about 100 or 200 places throughout the city where there's high-value people, a specific area to pick up and drop off wheelchair people? The only place right now is maybe you get a space next to a fire hydrant where dogs like piss and poop all day long, which is disgusting, or in a bus stop where the bus is like blasting the horn for you to move, or in a crosswalk, which if you go into court and something happens with the wheelchair person, you say, where'd you pick up the wheelchair person? Well, I was in the crosswalk and guilty next. So where are the places to pick up and drop off these people? Shouldn't that have been done in the first place, Abe? I got to ask you.
Yes. Okay.
All that for yes?
Now listen. Listen, as far as the $60 that you're talking about, one of the goals of the program was to cut down on that amount of money that's being spent for this and give it to the taxi cabs at a more reasonable price. Okay? So, but that is it. But, you know, I believe that Uber has negotiated with these people and they're skimming off a lot of that money, I believe. I don't have any proof of this.
To what?
By using the green cars. But you're walking on me, Mike.
I'm sorry.
By using the green cars, okay, all right. You know, if there's anybody out there want to correct me on this, you know, straighten me out. I don't know, but this is what I've heard, okay. And as far as the pick off and drop off places, I think right now what's being used is, you know, the little bridge on Vanderbilt Avenue there where the cars go over on 42nd Street,
yes.
Okay. I think it's right in the middle of the road there on the double line is the current pickup and drop off place if you need a wheelchair at Grand Central. Okay, and the wheelchairs and probably off the curb somewhere in Columbus Circle, okay, in the middle of the road where the cars are circling around. Okay. Bottom line here, is there is none. They don't intend to put one, and just because you're saying they should doesn't mean they will.
Right.
Okay. Right. You know what's going to happen is there's going to be some accidents. Mm-hmm. People are going to get hurt. Okay, and only then will they say, "Oh, we need to do something about this." And they'll call out their wonderful traffic commissioner. Okay, Miss Trottenberg.
Right.
Okay, and she'll sit there, you know, with her degree in whatever. Okay, and talk about how it'll
now,
correct
for those people listening,
like,
you know, who is she exactly? Who is Polly Trottenberg?
Polly Trottenberg is the current chairman, commissioner, whatever you call it,
right,
of traffic.
Department of Traffic.
Okay.
Department of Traffic.
All right. And she sat there at the City Hall meeting this week and said that traffic does sometimes correct itself. I wish I had cancer that corrected itself.
That's right.
You know, I mean, maybe that's a cure. Maybe that's a cure for cancer. You get cancer, no problem.
We've been going around this the wrong way. So I guess what we should just do is walk into Times Square, close our eyes, click our heels 3 times, and that'll be fine. So basically, she's saying she's not going to do anything. So it's going to correct itself. Leave me alone. I want to sleep. That's what she's saying.
Well, yeah, basically, and we don't know if that's coming from her or from Bloomberg or whatever. Okay, not Bloomberg.
I would say Bloomberg still has hand in this. I don't know. I can't prove it. I don't know, but it just reeks of a lot of Bloomberg stuff still going on. And I'm wondering if he still runs the city. I mean, I'm just wondering how much Bloomberg runs the city. I mean, it's curious.
Well, Bloomberg has a lot of dough to spread around, so I don't know what he does with it, and I'm not going to say anything about it. Okay, you know, he knows a lot of people. You know, I'm sure he's still consulted about things. Okay, okay. Now listen, you know, getting back to this City Hall meeting that happened last Monday. Okay, the city council meeting, I should say. Okay, it was about traffic, and I really want to commend, and I didn't get his name, but he's a law professor at NYU or Columbia or somewhere, or some law school, okay? He's the head of the law department, the professor department, whatever. Okay, he was, and he got up there, you know, and I didn't watch this until actually 2 days ago, because you know, the meeting, if anybody wants to watch it, is available on NYC Taxi News. Okay, and you could scroll to different parts of the meeting, and this gentleman spoke in like the last half hour of the 3.5 hour meeting, and basically what he said was, "You morons," and I'm paraphrasing here. Okay. He didn't use those words. He said, "You morons, you're sitting here saying that the state of New York is the only one that could bring in let us have congestion pricing, you know, to keep the traffic out, okay? You know, legislated, that's the word I was looking for, okay? You morons, I personally have studied this for years, okay? And the last time anyone made any reference to the state having anything to do with tolling and that kind of stuff in the city of New York was in 1958, he said.
Wow.
Okay? And in his opinion, he was telling them, you know, his demeanor was such that you knew he was trying to tell them how dumb
can
you be. Okay? Right, how dumb can you be? You don't need the state of New York to make rules for congestion pricing. And you know, believe it or not, you know, there are many people in the taxi industry and other industries and Sam Schwartz, right? You know, who you pretty much glorified when he straightened out the traffic at LaGuardia Airport, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you know, they believe that the real answer to the traffic problem is congestion.
Well, it's all about
pricing.
Revenue.
Okay. The MTBOT is behind it. Okay. It's not all about revenue. No, it's about two things. It is about revenue, but it's about using the revenue that it creates create more public transit, okay, and not using the revenue that it will not get from those that decide they don't want to pay it and start using mm-hmm. public transportation.
Well, Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right. Well, so the point is that it will, number one, reduce traffic, and number two, raise revenue to reduce traffic even more.
Well, the one thing I know is that in the middle of all this, we just basically have a taxi commission under de Blasio's watch, and at the end of Bloomberg's game in the third term, they've put on what will be almost like 80,000 additional FHV, TNC, blah, blah, blah cars on the streets of New York, and these cars all squash into Manhattan at the rush hour. Now a guy told me, a friend of mine, he's an insurance broker. He insures Uber cars. I mean, he's running a business. And he said what a lot of people do now, thousands of people, if they have their regular 9-to-5 job, they bring their Uber car to work, and when they leave at 6 o'clock, 5:30, they go straight to the Uber platform and start picking up rush hour fares. And so you now have people bringing their cars into the city, which they weren't doing before, picking up rush hour fares. They have people who are making another 50 or 60 bucks driving an Uber car, getting in the way of cab drivers who do this for a living. So this is just a complete disaster. And the last 4 years, we've gone from the yellow cab being a viable business. And what about the immigrants? Everybody's like immigrant happy. It's like, oh, we have to protect the immigrants. Well, you got to protect the immigrants who bought medallions from the city of New York, directly issued by the city of New York. And Abe, I think now some of these taxi medallions, a few of them are below the minimum upset price that the city established when they were selling medallions, correct? They're all below.
What do you mean? A few of them? Okay, I mean they're selling for The report came out this week for the May sales, okay, and there was some that sold for $500,000, and there was some that sold for less. And then this some that said $750,000, but I'm not sure. It said two medallions, so it might be right. $375 a piece or whatever that is, okay.
Right.
$750 divided by two is $375, right? Something
right.
Like that, 750 divided by 2, mm-hmm. right, 375, okay? So, you know, it fluctuates, you know, people selling medallions in a panic, okay? The credit unions don't lend any money, okay? And Melrose, et al., with the state of New York who took them over, is, reportedly foreclosing on medallions, mm-hmm. even if people are paying, okay, mm-hmm. you know, and I've had debates with people about that, and nobody right. seems to know exactly what's
now,
going on.
Now the other thing a guy was telling me. Okay. Now again, I'm not a lawyer, but make sense. One guy was telling me that you go to the credit union, and now the credit union says, "Well, we're a little scared about the price of the medallion that fell on your taxi. We want you to co-sign against the house to guarantee the loan." And some cabbies have said, well, you know, I mean, I'm going to pay both, so it's I'm going to pay the house and the cab loan, so it's, I guess it's okay. But then one guy said, well, you might not want to do that, because once you do that, if you've incorporated your cab, you pierce the corporate veil and you attach your personal assets by co-signing a loan against your medallion. Now, that sounds to me like you could do that. If you all of a sudden you say you're going to guarantee the loan by, you know, by co-signing your house to guarantee the price of the medallion and the loan and the blah, 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 you might just, you know, be in the jackpot because you can attach your house for, let's say, a lawsuit. You have a big lawsuit, something happens, and instead of them just taking the cab medallion, which is worth whatever now, they might be able to grab your house too. So I'm not the lawyer of the family, but you guys, before signing anything, you might want to look into that. And Abe, you've been in this business a while. These cabbies, some of them are like little babies when it comes to signing stuff. They are so many, the Yiddish word is verkackte agreements that cabbies have signed. And then they come crying to us Mike and Abe and whomever, or Dave or somebody, about the horrible deal they signed. It's like, listen, you signed a deal. What did your lawyer say when you were signing? It's like, I didn't use my lawyer. I used their lawyer. It's like, you used their lawyer. Goodbye. So you got to be careful signing stuff. And hopefully we, with our little, you know, slice of heaven here, we educated some people, not so much as the law itself, but what they're like out for. And I, like I said, there are a couple things out there now. These are very troubled times. And Abe, as a business person, it's frustrating for me and a lot of other drivers where you say, theoretically, the fire sale's on, you never bought a medallion, and now, hey, you know, if the medallion's worth $350,000, $400,000, I wouldn't mind getting a medallion if I could put $40,000 or $50,000 down. Again, like you said, where do you get the money? There's no money on the street. I mean, there's not no money, but there's very little money on the street to, for a cabbie who just wants to drive a cab and buy a medallion for basically what would be the same amount of money as releasing a medallion. Used to be you could put 10% down and you'd find someone to lend you the rest. Now they want like half down or 60% down. So a cab driver who has $150,000 in his pocket, I'm guessing he's going to take the next plane out of Dodge City. He ain't going to go down the block and buy a cab. This is the problem.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the good news is that medallions are being sold and bought still. They still have value. Okay? And look, we got some good news this week. I don't know. How do you feel about Via stepping into the yellow taxis?
Well, you know, on the one hand, here's the thing. On the one hand, my personal opinion, the app community that made their apps for yellow cabs, I'm not exactly overjoyed with the in-house app crew per se. But Via has a track record of making money for their drivers. But of course, now the people who are running the group ride for the yellow cab jump in and want to give the drivers peanuts and pennies on the dollar. In fact, I heard one commercial the other day saying, I know you can save 60% off by using the new Via app in yellow cabs. And I was like, wait a second. What's the math on that? If you have two people getting 60% off, does that mean the driver has to give each person 20% more? I did?
No, you got it wrong, Mike. You got it wrong.
40%, okay. Well, what do you do?
Yeah, it's 40% off, okay? 40% off. Right. I'm going to give you the whole shebang.
What newspapers?
Okay? You got to read the newspapers, Mike, okay? The newspapers, the ones that I put up on NYC Taxi News, okay? All right? Don't let me scold you for this, all right? But here's the math, okay? Second rider will pay only 60 will pay 60% of the meter, okay? Okay, and the first rider will pay 60% of that portion of the meter that that the other fare was in, okay?
Right.
And so basically, they're both paying 60%, okay? And they say, well, the driver, now this is the part that the drivers should like, and I don't like it either. Okay. Before I say, let me just say this. What I do like about it is that you could stay busy all day long as much as you want rather than cruising with no passengers for half the day. Okay. So, on that note, you will be making a lot more money, okay? Because there won't be anywhere near as much dead time, you know, when you're riding without a fare, okay? Right. Imagine if you could ride all day long with somebody in the taxi and the meter going all day, you know, or imagine all that time that you're riding around without a fare.
What if
the meter was running?
I'll tell you right now, because I mean, they got to do something. Yes, I can't say how many times now. Yeah. I go into the Bronx, I go into Brooklyn on a one-way trip, and I come back all the way empty. And it's...
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me finish, Mike. I'm not done, okay? I'm not done. The part that I don't like is that the driver will only get the meter, and as publicized in the articles about it, and they'll get the multiple tips from passengers. Okay? So look, all in all, it should work out where the driver is going to make more money, even though they're only getting what's on the meter, and the passengers are paying 60% of the meter. The extra money is going to be split by Verifone and Via, okay, which I don't like. I think they're taking much too much. I think that the driver should get a portion of that extra money.
Does the driver have to pick up these calls, or is that his option?
All right.
Does the driver have to pick up these calls?
Well, no, I don't think so. I believe it's his option. And right. It has to be his option because, you know, what if you want to take a break? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to say, okay, no split fares now, okay, for you know, until I take my break. I mean, right now I'm sitting here on the radio and I want to go to the toilet, okay? Can you imagine if I was sitting in a taxi? Yeah. Okay, you got to have time for yourself. You got to be able to put that off duty sign
God.
On,
Thank
which we
God.
Don't have anymore, by the way. Okay, I don't know what we have.
That
off duty sign
was a
lifesaver.
It was a
take a break,
for tickets from the TLC, the off duty sign.
What?
We'll be here all day.
Well, so how do you take a break? Mike, how do you take a break?
Personal use on the passenger information monitor or the interface in the front of the cab. I scroll down, personal use, and then the light goes off.
Right.
Single. That's it. Over. Correct.
Okay, so light is off. You can take a break that way. Okay, fine. So the point I'm trying to make is that you have to have opportunities to take breaks, and if you're constantly picking up an extra passenger and constantly with the meter on, you don't have that opportunity. Okay, I remember, you know, let me relate this to the last subway strike. Okay, when Ed Koch stood at the maybe that isn't the last subway strike. One in I think 1980 or something. All right. When Ed Koch stood at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, welcoming all the walkers.
That was a great New York moment. Yes.
Right. Do you recall that? Okay. Okay. Well. The thing is this: we were allowed as taxi cabs at that time to pick up multiple passengers. If we saw somebody, you know, with their hand up, and we had an extra seat in the taxi, right? You know, that person got in, okay? So we were constantly, and charging them whatever was on, whatever the meter ran for the distance that they were in, okay? And I did that, if you remember, back in, I think, 2003 or somewhere in there. Remember when the lights went out for 18 hours?
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Right, you know, I was working that night, okay, or actually it was late in the afternoon. I'm gonna take a little drink of water here. Hold on. Yeah. It was late in the afternoon, and I was on West End Avenue, and somewhere in the 90s, I don't remember exactly. And all of a sudden, I saw the traffic lights were out, and I said, "What's going on here?" And then I went over to Broadway, and the traffic lights were out, and I had a passenger in the car, and suddenly when I got over to the east side, there were no traffic lights, right? and I'm working with no traffic lights, okay? And I'm thinking, what's going on here, right? And I turned on, I think, CBS, news radio, okay? I was hearing over the radio that the power is going out in the entire northeast section of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And suddenly, I remember getting over to the east side, Second Avenue or somewhere, where there was no subway there, so it must have been like Lexington, right? And there were hordes of people up on the street that had gotten off the subway, right? And I said to my passenger, I got to start picking these people up. I just took it upon myself. Okay, there was no word from the TLC over the news or in any other way saying that we could pick up multiple passengers. But I remembered back to 1980. I remembered back to 1980 when we had that subway strike, and I said to my passenger, I said, listen, I got to start picking these people up. And I started charging them, you know, and they said, how much are you going to charge? And I just said, just pay me whatever you feel you think I should get, I told them. No, I had very good luck with that. I had very good luck with that. They were so grateful. They were so grateful, okay, that I had taken it upon myself to pick these people up, okay? And I
so you were working,
more money
you were
that
working
night
in
than
Bruckner Boulevard
I would
in the
make
South
it
6 Bronx?
Weeks. All right.
I worked wherever I was.
I wound up that night in
New
City. In New City, Rockland County.
Uh-huh.
And you know something? There was an open gas station.
That's right.
Because I kept all the gas stations were closed. You know, because they didn't have the power to pump gas. And I wound up in New City because somebody couldn't get a bus out of the bus terminal in on 181st Street.
Right.
And he said, can you take me to New City? And I said, sure. And I took him there. And when I got there was an open gas station that was pumping gas. Right. And I filled up the car. I filled up the car
right, on the top,
and I went back to work with no traffic lights, okay? And I worked from like 4 p.m. through the night till like 5 a.m. with no traffic lights. And I remember thinking to myself, you know something? We don't even need these traffic lights because everybody was so cooperative. It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, when you reached an intersection, people were actually nobody was trying to go fast or anything. Everybody was being cautious. Okay. Everybody. Okay. And I worked right through the night. I wound up in Brooklyn a couple of times. Okay. And there were people everywhere getting into that taxi. But the point I'm trying to make was when I had to take a break, I had to tell them. Listen, I gotta take a break. I gotta get out of this camp for 5 minutes. Yeah. My bladder is bursting. Okay,
right.
All right. And they understood. They let me do that. Okay, so I found
a
bush.
Wait. You was know, it the TLC approved
was
bush for cab drivers?
Right. I mean. Yes, there was a special sign there that said TLC approved, right? Signed by our commissioner at the time. I don't want to say we know who he is, but he was okay.
I'll tell you, I long for that. He made a couple of things I wasn't too thrilled about. A couple of court cases, which at the risk of damning him with faint praise, he probably was the best TLC commissioner we ever had. The medallion was up to $1 million under his watch. Cabbies were making money. We didn't have chaos in the streets. So, I mean, and now you look at who we got. We got Yasky, who was, I don't know what his deal is. And then we have this Manuvel running the show now, which apparently she's the only person. She talks about competition for the cab drivers in New York City. So, but I didn't see too much competition for the current TLC chairperson when she went for this job. I didn't see like 100 applications being sent to City Hall. She didn't have too much competition because I'm guessing there could have been, I don't know, maybe like 1,000 other people in the city of New York more capable than her of running this show. What's her name again? Nosy, chairperson Nosy, or Yoshi.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Mike. Why don't you review our front page and
break? What does that mean? You're
say
not
hello
gonna
to
drop the phone in the toilet, are you?
While I take a quick break. Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all,
I'm gonna put my headphones down while you talk.
I'm talking.
Okay?
You can go. Do what you gotta do.
Okay.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for listening to the world famous Mike and Abe show.
Go.
Broadcast across the street and around the world, right here on the little website that could. First of all, we want to thank the folks over at Checker Taxi, located at 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. That's 718-361-6300. Checker Taxi. Make it happen. You can see them right there on the front page of the website. Also want to thank the Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade. They are putting cabbies back on the road. If you're an experienced FHV driver, get your yellow cab license for free. No test, no fees. Contact your local MTBOT taxi garage. Also want to thank WB Taxi. WB Taxi is located at 35-11 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Their phone number is 718-729-7777. Days, weeklies, all shifts available at WB Taxi. Again, they are located in Long Island City, New York, 718-729-7777. Also, you cabbies need to buy a car, lease a medallion, buy a medallion. You might want to check out King Taxi Medallion Leasing in Brooklyn. Be your own boss, and you can purchase a new NV200 Wave taxi and earn $35,000 in bonuses. In fact, tell you the truth, that's the Wave taxi I like. So anyway, King Brokerage in Brooklyn, God's country, 718-833-8110, 68th Street and 5th Avenue in Brooklyn, and they are right off the outbound BQE. You jump off and you're like literally right there. Also want to give a shout out to our friends at Taxi CPA. Their phone number is 718-413-6126, 718-413-6126. And I got to tell you, folks, today you need a CPA to do your taxi stuff, your taxes and your taxi stuff, because that is the way to go. Don't try and wing it on the kitchen table with your friends, brothers, cousins, whatever. Go to Taxi CPA, 718-413-6126, and they can help bring you up to speed and give you the information you need to know to make your wise decision about tax preparation and just running along the side here. What else do we have? And that should do it for now. We got some other people coming in next month for advertising. Thank you very much. I know Abe, you're very excited about that. And you're waiting. You're waiting. You're back and you're waiting.
That's, oh, well, yeah. I'm waiting. Okay. And you're waiting. Yeah. Listen, I want to now talk about the TLC meeting that was on
God
Thursday.
Help. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And they passed some new rules.
Okay. Oh, it's good. Okay? Good news. Oh, you got me.
Are you aware? Well, they're kind of good, these rules, okay?
Oh, it's good news. Oh, you got
yeah. You know, and basically, they're extending the time period for people who haven't renewed their hack license. It says permit the renewal of expired vehicle licenses up to 60 days after the vehicle licensee expired date. And they're also allowing, and you have to read these rules. I'm going to post them on NYC Taxi News. I haven't done it yet. Okay. They're allowing drivers who have left the business for a couple of years you could renew within 2 years, or not go through the process of taxi school, if you renew within it says applicants who are applying less than 2 years after their prior license expired are exempt if previously licensed for 10 years, okay. And it says applicants who are applying between 2 and 5 years after their prior license expired are exempt.
And me.
If previously licensed for at least 15 years, that would include me. Okay. But I let my license expire. Okay. So if I wanted to get my license renewed, I wouldn't have to go through taxi school. Okay.
Right.
You know, I would have to go through the rest of the process. But just the fact that I wouldn't have to, you know, waste my time in a school that I was once offered a job teaching. Okay, you know, I mean,
and let me tell you something.
And I
would
was,
you,
that's the truth. I was
all
actually
of a sudden
offered a position
things turned
teaching
around
at a taxi school.
And you found that you could make like a zillion dollars a day driving a cab, would you come back and drive a cab?
And you found that you could make like a zillion dollars a day driving a cab.
All right, so if the money was there, you would do it.
And drive a cab.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, you would be physically able to do it.
A zillion and one,
the money
maybe.
Was there.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the that.
You have no idea.
Only if they got rid of the traffic. Okay. I have an idea. I heard the testimony at the city council hearing, and the description of every avenue. Fifth Avenue, Sixth Avenue, Seventh Avenue, Eighth Avenue, and all of the cross streets, 23rd Street, you know, the two-way
right.
cross streets, 23rd Street, 34th Street, 79th Street, whatever.
Let me just jump in here.
There was
one cab driver at the best line. I was at the garage.
Okay.
And I usually drive nights. Like, I don't even know what this city looks like before, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I just can't handle it. I can't drive in the daytime. But I go out to Kennedy, start my day, blah, blah, blah. So I asked this one day driver, I said, how do you make money driving during the day? He goes, okay, well, here's what you do. You get in your cab, pick up a passenger, and then you hit the meter. I said, yeah, I know. Okay, then what do you do? He goes, that's it. I said, what do you mean that's it? He goes, that's your job. Get somebody in the cab and hit the meter. It runs at $30 an hour if you sit in traffic. The drop is about three and change. Get somebody in the cab, hit the meter. I said, but what about you? He goes, no, that's your job, is to get someone in the cab in the daytime, hit the meter. So he's basically signed off at he's looking for a way to eat and survive, and that's how he makes money. I mean, the days of like, how do we get this guy to the airport at 5 o'clock? It's impossible. There are no real ways to navigate through this mess that has been created by de Blasio and Chairperson Nosy. Yoshi at the TLC, who apparently is more concerned with redesigning the Woodside inspection facility than straightening out the Uber mess, in my opinion.
Who apparently is more concerned with redesigning the Woodside inspection facility than straightening out the Uber mess, in my opinion.
So what you're saying is the purpose of a taxi in the daytime now for the driver is not to take anybody anywhere, just make sure they're sitting in the back.
They're in a hurry, and they
and
don't
the reason
walk.
These people are sitting
the driver
in the cab
is like,
they don't want to walk.
Kinda like, you know, I mean, what can you do? There's been no express lanes for cabbies or anything to help us move. I would love to work in the daytime. I don't like working at night with these lunatics.
Well, my opinion is that it's going to happen one way or another, congestion pricing. It's going to happen, okay? And if the de Blasio administration doesn't want to do it, the next administration.
Yellow cab drivers, you have people who can't get to the hospital. You can't have cops fighting crime. You can't have firemen going to fires. You just have some basic public service stuff that is being denied because of bad traffic. And a lot of these traffic people are just, you know, they just come into the city to drive around. They're not spending money. They come in with their little cell phones, and they put a six-pack of beer in the car, and they put a bag of weed in the car, and they're driving around and around and around. They don't do anything. They're not spending money here. Get rid of them. You know?
Okay, Mike, I'm not finished with the new rules.
Okay.
Okay? No, there's more. Okay? And the more is that vehicle owners, be it the mini fleets, whoever, any medallion owner, okay, can now apply for a hardship so that they can extend the
great.
Life
it's
of their taxi.
I mean, you have some really good cars that were taken off the road.
Passes inspection. Okay, so.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, right. And
from Brooklyn,
what's his name? Malcolm from Susan. He testified and I got to give this guy credit. Okay, I mean I've heard of him. Okay, but I never seen him face to face, nor or met him or spoke to him. But he pretty much stood up there and told the TLC, "Look, you're killing us.
Right.
You know, I invite any one of you to come out to my fleet and see the car sitting during the day. Okay? You know, I have to put down $3,500 on each car to buy cars. I don't have the money, he said. Okay? You know, and this wasn't just some single medallion owner crying. This was a big fleet owner, okay? You know, telling the TLC, you got to cut me some slack here, you know, and don't tell me I got to replace my cars after 1, 2, or 3 years or whatever it is, okay? And that's what they did. They, you know, you can apply now, no matter who you are. How many taxis you have, you can now apply for a hardship extension and keep your car as long as it passes inspection. I'm not sure if there's a limit to that also,
with them doing it, a lot more is they kind of know, in my opinion, that they went overboard with the wheelchair accessible vehicle thing, and now they see the outcry of taxis for all. It was just a bunch of propaganda, in my opinion. I think there was a lot of people making a lot of money with this whole scheme, and now they're looking at the numbers and say, wait a second, we're getting one call per cab per week. Do these people really need all these cabs? And then it's only a third of the yellow cab fleet that we're getting one cab per week. So they might be giving us some slack because they realize that maybe they've been had, as usual, because they didn't ask the cab drivers anything.
Well, it seems to me that they are now realizing the harm they have done. Okay? You have to be somewhere out in Andromeda not to realize
and put two-way radios back in yellow cabs. Everything else will work itself out. 10-4.
Okay, I disagree with the radio part because the apps are good enough. Apps are modern radios. Okay?
You're in the loop here.
Okay, which
with this app thing has been such a headache for the yellow cab. What has it done to the black car industry? It must have devastated a lot of segments of the black car industry.
I can't speak for the black car industry, but my belief is that it's devastating.
All right, so I guess that's our show. We've probably done enough show to last this life.
We've done enough show.
The hour to okay, very good. Like I said, we want to thank the sponsors. We're going to do that from time to time, and we do appreciate it.
Okay.
And the hardship letter, like I said, flies in the face of this economic thing the TLC was investigating. Why don't they approve a fare increase? If you got cabbies going in there for you know.
Maybe they may, you know, cross your fingers. They haven't said they didn't approve it. Okay.
I'm going to look into that too.
I mean, first of all, before you get a fare increase, I believe somebody has to apply for a fare increase.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I would guess.
A piece of paper.
Interesting. What about a medallion driver?
A piece of paper by a medallion owner. All right.
We'll look into that too. We have two homework assignments for next week.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe, you know. You know, you guys out there, you know, get on our message board.
Everybody's afraid of committing to the.
You know,
it's free.
I mean, I don't know why they're so afraid to come onto the message board. Okay.
Well, not only
is it free, you're anonymous. Nobody knows
who
Taxi Sun is or. You know, unless if they want you to know, nobody knows who. I've been trying to figure out who Rob is for the last 4 years.
That's what the TLC should chime in and put Rob.
I like
Rob.
Rob tells it like it is.
40 years.
All right.
Maybe TLC should call themselves Rob.
Yeah.
But Rob is a good guy. Rob chimes in. Rob does very good.
Okay. I believe. Yeah, he is. You know, and then you got Hackenstein. Right. Okay, and nobody knows, who Hackenstein is. I've been
looking
for him in the 1937 movie. Okay.
In fact, he just re-signed in.
Right.
Guys, thank you very much.
You know, everybody, stay well, and we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.